Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Church Autonomy Doctrine applies to Liberty University's Title VII case. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, of course, we're defending Liberty University against this Jonathan Zinsky, who is a biological male who worked as an IT specialist at Liberty University until after his 90-day probationary period. He announced that he was going to identify as a female and change his name to Eleanor. So as a result, Liberty University said this is not, you know, in compliance with our mission statement, our doctrine, so sorry, you'll have to be fired. And now Jonathan Zinsky has sued Liberty University as a result.
Yeah, he claims that under Title VII, which is the federal employment law, that he was discriminated against on the basis of sex and that there's no religious defense. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But what we did recently is file two letters of supplemental authority to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Zinsky versus Liberty University regarding recent court decisions out of Washington and Minnesota, both of which upheld the right of religious institutions to employ people aligned with their beliefs. I'll be doing the oral argument on this case at the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in mid-March, and this will be a huge case because it has a high potential to go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, and these two recent rulings really affirm what we are arguing in this case for Liberty University.
Yeah, on January 6, 2026, a ruling from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously held that the First Amendment's church autonomy doctrine entitles religious organizations to only employ people in non-ministerial roles who align with their religious beliefs. The case is Union Gospel Mission of Yakima, Washington versus Brown, a Christian homeless shelter or ministry with about 150 employees challenged a Washington state law that limits religious nonprofit ministries in decisions on who they can hire. A three-judge panel stated that the church autonomy doctrine provides broad protection and prohibits intrusion by the government into the internal management decisions of religious organizations when those decisions are based on religion, including decisions involving non-ministerial level positions. Let me explain what that means. A non-ministerial level position is somebody who is not performing what they call a ministerial function. So it's easy to understand a ministerial function is the minister. And another version of that would be, say, a teacher in a school. They're kind of acting as the mouthpiece, the conduit through which the mission and doctrine of the employer is being presented. The question, however, is non-ministerial positions. What about people who are receptionists? What about people who are other support or administrative staff, but they're not in that pastor/teacher role? And this Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision said it applies even in the context of non-ministerial positions. So you don't have to be a pastor or a teacher.
Right. You could be an IT specialist
exactly.
or a facilities director or other things as well.
Yeah.
But you're still working for that same and still upholding the mission and the doctrine of that Christian organization.
That's right. So Union Gospel case, the Ninth Circuit made clear that the First Amendment does not tolerate forcing religious institutions to employ people who openly flout and disagree with their religious principles. So that was one of the cases we just filed in preparation for the upcoming oral argument. Another one, December 1, 2025, the Minnesota Court of Appeals ruled similarly in a case involving Academy of Holy Angels. The case involved a Catholic school firing a librarian who publicly announced a gender identity change from male to female. A unanimous three-judge panel affirmed a lower court ruling dismissing the librarian's case, deciding that sex discrimination claims for non-ministerial employees are foreclosed by the First Amendment church autonomy doctrine. The librarian was in a secular position and not an ordained minister, teacher, or pastor of the school. Nevertheless, the court held any discrimination claims would require the court to consider the internal church doctrine of the employment decision, something constitutionally intolerable.
You know, Matt, it just seems common sense. You have a Christian organization. They have the right to hire employees that agree with their beliefs, that will uphold their doctrine, would hold their policies. You don't want to hire someone who disagrees. That's a huge deal. And your mission statement and your doctrine as a Christian organization, you don't want to violate that.
Yes, indeed. And so, you know, in our case, we filed both of these as what we call supplemental authorities. These are cases that have come out after all the briefs were filed. And so that's a supplemental authority, which is permitted in these courts. Any new cases that come out that are on point, and both of these are on point. So we do have, in Liberty's case, the First Amendment church autonomy doctrine defense, just like these cases. We also have a number of other defenses, and this includes sections 702 and 703 of Title VII. Now, those particular sections actually apply to religious organizations. And if they actually apply to the religious organization, then anything in Title VII is just completely opted out. So if you qualify under Section 702 or 703, everything else in Title VII, you're opted out of. 703 actually applies specifically to educational institutions. So clearly, Liberty, everyone understands, is protected by 703. 702 was actually amended a little bit later, so it's almost superfluous. So it applies to educational as well as non-educational purposes. And what it does is this. If the employer's decision is based on religion, if it's based on religion, on their religious doctrine, then everything in Title VII is gone. In other words, you have the total autonomy to base your decisions on religious doctrine. If it's not based on religious doctrine, then Title VII would apply. You wouldn't be exempted. So let's look at Zinsky's case. Was Zinsky's termination based on religious doctrine? He says he was terminated because of, quote, sex. Well, here's what actually happened. Zinsky took hormones before he was hired for 4 months. Applied, affirmed the doctrinal statement, knew the doctrinal statement.
Signed the dotted line that he agreed.
Yeah, and it's very clear. The doctrinal statement says God created us in his image, male and female, that there's only two sexes, male and female, and that to identify as something other than your birth sex is a sin. Very clear, very
right,
specific.
Right.
Zinsky signs off on that, 90-day probation expires. Then he comes and says, by the way, I've been taking these hormones. I want to change my name to Eleanor. I want to identify as a woman, etc., which means he'll actually change his appearance. Then he tries to say, well, you know what? My church allows this. Okay.
That's tragic.
That is tragic, but it doesn't have any relevance. What's relevant is, what is Liberty's doctrine? Does Liberty have to tolerate somebody who is openly defiant of their doctrinal belief, that walks around, parades around, in absolute open defiance of their doctrinal belief? Their doctrinal belief is very clear. Do they have to tolerate someone who is openly, unrepentantly defiant of their doctrinal belief? And the answer to that is no.
And interacting with students as well. He's not sitting in a room by himself, never talking to anyone. He's interacting with students.
Students, faculty,
Christian
and staff.
Students.
That's true.
Christian students.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, Christian students will sometimes take their laptops to the IT help desk. And so here you got the Zinsky, who's parading around as a woman, identifying as a woman. Obviously, he's a man. Open defiance. So the students are required to comply with this. The faculty and staff are required to comply with this doctrine. But Zinsky's not. If that's the case, if he can get away with that, then it makes a mockery out of mm-hmm. Liberty's doctrinal statement.
And it sounds like very much like a setup to me, because he could have easily gotten a position at another school or another organization as an IT specialist.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Why go to Liberty University?
Because he, I think, and the ACLU targeted Liberty University specifically to set up this test case. So our argument here is multifold. Obviously, the First Amendment church autonomy doctrine protects Liberty. The Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act protects liberty. It operates as a super statute. But Section 702 and 703 of Title VII exempt liberty because its decision to terminate was clearly based upon its doctrine. They weren't probing as to what he's thinking. They're probing as to what he's doing, his actual action, his conduct, his appearance, his open defiance. Liberty has the right to do that. Continue to pray for this case. It's a major case that's coming up. Oral argument is in the middle of March, coming up soon. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/LU.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.